works as we move on to the last 15 minutes on this positive line with Abram. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, I think some of the verses that have been quoted, young people, it's good to make a notation of these verses, because these are not just simply our thoughts. This is the very word of God. It says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Now, we had the question earlier as to what are we willing to give up? And that's an important question. How far are we willing to go? But, you know, faith, though, there is a patience that is associated with faith. And it is really unlike us as humans to have this kind of patience as we wait in faith upon the Lord to move. We like to take things under our control. We like to be able to make decisions. Lot chose. He saw, and then he made a decision. But Abram was a man who had this patient faith at this point in his life. And so Lot goes ahead. He finds himself in a worse condition than he could have imagined. I doubt he really imagined that these men were wicked and exceedingly sinners before the Lord. But God has moved Lot out. And now God comes and speaks to Abram. Isn't that interesting? When we put things in the right place, when we cut associations that are impeding our progress, you'll find that God comes and you can hear his voice very clearly. But when we have the noise of those who are pulling and tucking and distracting and helping us to lose proper perspective, we can't hear the voice of God. In fact, it might be that God has waited. He's not speaking at that moment. But we read in verse 14, "The Lord said unto Abram, after Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes, and look from the place where thou art, northward, southward, eastward, and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered." We asked the young men last night, what did Lot ask for and what did he receive? Well, the plains of Jordan. What did Abraham not ask for and what did he receive? Somebody, maybe you've looked that up. Maybe you found the answer in this reading. What did God give to Abram because he waited in faith? Somebody help us out. What did he get? One word.
All.
Everything. All. Yeah. I think that even included what Lot had. Right?
Not just
you see, what God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. If, young people, we have hearts that are going out towards God, we're not speaking about perfection, but the heart has a desire to wait upon the Lord, to ask for his help, to confess that we don't have all the answers. When God sees that in our hearts, the very things that someone thinks, the opportunities that Brother David was mentioning before, that others run after because, well, I'm going to position myself in a better place than the next person, God gives us that and much more. And you sit back and you say, you know, if I had just gone ahead and made this decision, what a mess I would have been in. But here I am 2 years later, or 10 years later, or 5 minutes later, and God has given me all. We read, what's the verse that says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding."
To add on to that, I think it's very encouraging to see that, you know, when Abraham makes the tough decision, which must have been a difficult decision as a result of the affections that he had for Lot, when he finally makes the decision to to separate from him. As I said earlier, immediately the Lord speaks to him and once again confirms that promise. So, you know, this portion here in verse 14 to the end is the third time that the Lord reconfirms that promise that he would be giving the inheritance to Abraham. And so it's really encouraging for us that, you know, after we, make the right decision and shed those relationships, those associations that the Lord wouldn't have for us, is that he's going to be right there to bless us as a result. And so it's just, for me, it's encouraging to know that, you know, that the Lord is continually, you know, the example that was given before, how, you know, we have all these garbs of clothing, and we see here in the life of Abraham, the Lord peeling that away. And so we see here in verse 14, finally, Abraham is in full obedience, or Abram is in full obedience to what he was told in chapter 12, verse 1, to separate from his country, his kindred, and his father's household, and the blessings that come as a result of that.
Dear young people, if we can impress one thing on you today, my heart will be cheered if you leave this building realizing that the God of glory wants to bless your life. Now, that's the real crux of where we're coming to. God is a giving God. We saw it in the gift of his son. And then for those, and we had discipleship a few years ago, I want to read to you what God tells us. In a world where men are grasping and trying to get all they can get, listen to what the Lord Jesus says. This is from Matthew 6, verse 31. He says, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? This is exactly what David is saying a while ago. I've got to be top. I want to get the best spot. I want to get the best place. God says, wait a minute, you're my child. And I have the best for you. And this is what I will do for you. And I want you to always set, if you can remember this, this verse alongside of those that come offering. Listen to what the Lord Jesus says. He says, after all these things to the Gentiles seek. It's the world we're living in. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of these things. But seek ye first, not last, not a second thought. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things. All which things? All the things that the men and the women and many Christians of this world are grasping to get. And I don't tell you you're going to have great riches. I don't know what the Lord can trust you with. The Lord can't trust some of us with riches. When we get riches, we find that we use them on ourselves. But I'll tell you what he does want for us. He wants the very best for his children. And if we're willing to in any way take a verse up like this in prayer, Lord Jesus, what would you have me to do? Where would you have me to go? Lord, what's in your future? I remember years ago, and I won't mention where, but there were some who would have attempted to influence our lives, my wife and I, with small children in a certain direction. Am I ever glad we prayed? Am I ever glad we stopped and said, no, I don't think that's the way the Lord would lead us. We've seen it 100 times over, how the Lord has come in and he has blessed and he has confirmed. He's put us where there's a meeting. He's allowed us to stay there. I'll tell you, there's nobody, there's no people like his people. And I think of what our brother said, be real careful when you put yourself in a position. I always say, I don't even say my own kids have always listened, make it easier to go to meeting than it is to go to work. Make it easier to go to meeting. Make it easier to be at the prayer meeting and the Bible studies and then show up.